would like to ask you tonight, if you would, please, to turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. I would like to begin reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And I really, really encourage you to follow in the Word of God tonight. And the depth of the lesson that's on my heart tonight, I don't think can be fully understood without reading all of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. But there is a theme and a pattern as you look at those six books of the Bible that is on my heart tonight. And the theme that's on my heart that I feel that the Lord would have us to consider is the Word of God repeatedly talks about in those six books of the Bible, talks about how there were seasons that the children of Israel would inquire of the Lord. That is, they would ask God. The word inquire means to seek guidance, to ask, to beg, to consult, or to request. They would inquire of the Lord. Now, there were times that they were to inquire or ask other people, but the main thought that's on my heart is the importance of God's people inquiring of the Lord. Lord, you remember what Saul of Tarsus said when he was on the road to Damascus and Christ appeared to him. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" You know what he was doing? He was inquiring of the Lord. He was seeking guidance from God. He was asking, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And I hope that God will help us tonight as we go through. We're going to do a good bit of reading because I want you to see the pattern as we go through. I want you to see the pattern of David, especially. I want you to see how many times, and we're not going to read all of them, but I encourage you to go home and study this. I want you to see that time and time and time again that God would describe in His Word how David would inquire of the Lord. He would ask the Lord, "Lord, what should I do in this situation?" Some of you who have been here for 25 years will remember Brother Jim Kennedy. You all remember him? He was a hitchhiker I picked up one time that was one of the most godly men I've ever met in my life. He stayed in our home for about a week. He came here and spoke to us out of the Word of God on a Thursday night. We had a lot of good fellowship. I still communicate with Brother Jim. Brother Jim was one of the most godly men I've ever known, and he asked God every situation, everything he did, he would ask the Lord whether or not he should do that. Now, there were things that I thought, really, when I first met him, I thought, this is kind of stupid, really. And let me explain. I would say, "Brother Jim, supper's ready. Come on to the supper table." And he would just sit there. And sometimes he would get up and come on and say, "I think that's of the Lord." And sometimes he'd say, "Y'all go ahead. I just don't need to eat right now." I've never asked the Lord whether or not to go to the table. If the food's on the table, it's time to eat. But in all of the things that Brother Jim did in his life, he would ask the Lord's guidance. Even as he would be hitchhiking, walking along the side of the road, he would pray for God to cause the right person to stop. But he said sometimes somebody would stop and he would feel, "This is not the one that I would ride with." He was a missionary. In other words, he had a calling, according to him. He had a calling to go out, and his wife would take him a couple of hundred miles away from home and put him out. And he would have his backpack and his Bible, and he would just ask God to guide him to the people that he was to speak to. And as he would go all around this country, and he went all over the United States, sometimes he would be gone from home for 6 months at a time. But as he would go all around the country, he would just pray, "God, guide me to the people that you would have me to talk to out of your word." And sometimes people would stop and he would get in the car and they would say, "Where are you headed?" And he would say, "As the Lord directs." Now, how would you feel if you picked somebody up and they said, "Where are you going?" And they would just say, "As the Lord directs." But that's what he did. In all of his life, he would just ask God, "Lord, what should I do next?" And every day I would say, You going to stay another day with us? Well, I'll need to pray about that. Is there anybody here that asks the Lord's guidance in everything that you do? There are so many things that we do that sometimes we should be asking the Lord's guidance, and we don't realize how much we should be asking the Lord to guide us. He gave me an example, and he talked to the church about this. He said one time, as he was going through one of the deserts, I don't remember particularly which one it was, but as he was walking, he said, I was as near death as I've ever been in my life. And he said, I just kept praying, Lord, send somebody to pick me up. And nobody came, and he was out of water. And he just kept walking and walking and was getting weaker and weaker, and he felt like he was about to die. And finally he saw some water out beside the road, and he went running over to the water and drank the water. And he said, I had already learned the lesson, you don't do anything without inquiring of the Lord, without asking God whether or not to do it. But he said, that's one of the occasions that I did not ask God what to do, because I knew almost if it's there, and I'm dying of thirst, it's what I ought to do. So I went running over, and I drank that water, and he became violently ill because there was a dead animal. After he had drank a good bit, he began to notice there was a dead animal in the water, and he began to get extremely sick, and he was worse off after drinking that water. He was more dehydrated than he had been before. And so he said, God just teaches me over and over that I need to ask the Lord what to do in my life. And that's what all of us need to learn, is to learn to inquire of the Lord. Learn to seek God's guidance. Learn to ask the Lord what He would have you to do. Now, if there's something God has already told you to do in His Word, you don't need to ask the Lord whether or not to do that. Does everybody understand that? What Brother Jim was saying and what God's Word teaches is that there are many decisions that we make in our lives day by day that are not specifically answered. Now, do you need to ask the Lord whether or not to sin? No, you don't need to ask the Lord that. Do you need to ask the Lord whether or not to go to God's house? Do you need to ask God that? You don't need to ask God that. If you're asking God that, you're asking God to give you an answer that contradicts what He's already spoken in His Word. Don't ever ask God for guidance when He's already told you what to do in His Word. And as you do seek God's guidance in His Word, and you do what His Word says, then He will guide you in all other kind of decisions that you have to make in your life. I want to begin now in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. I first want us to notice just a couple of passages of Scriptures about King Saul. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, we're talking about inquiring of the Lord and asking God for guidance. And if we were to go through a lot of other Scriptures, you'd find that there are times, it doesn't matter whether it's business affairs or about sickness or emergencies, there are multitudes of examples in the Word of God where people would inquire of the Lord. They would ask the Lord what to do. Right now in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, the Word of God says, so Saul died for his transgression. Now there was something Saul did wrong. He died because of his transgression. Do you see that? So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the Word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel. What's that? Asking counsel is the same as what?
Inquiring.
He died for not keeping the commandment of God and for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. All of you are familiar with how he inquired of the witch of Endor. Now listen to verse 14. And inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David the son of Jesse. What did Saul do? He inquired of the wrong one. He asked the wrong one. And sometimes we do that in our lives. Sometimes we don't want to do what God says, so we'll ask other people. Did you know you can get all kinds of advice from people about what you ought to do? But if you really want to know what the Lord would have you to do, and you're not sure what the Bible says about a particular subject, you need to ask somebody that knows the Word of God, what should I do? Show me in the Word of God, what does God say that I should do in this situation? Inquire of the Lord. Why did King Saul die? He died because he inquired of someone he should not inquire of, and he did not, the Scripture specifically says both of those things, he inquired of one he should not inquire of, and he did not inquire of the Lord. Now, who was the next ruler of Israel after King Saul? Who was the next one?
David.
All right. David was the next king. After King Saul, then you have David, who was the king of Israel. Let's see what David did when David began to reign. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, now, who has just died in 1 Chronicles chapter 10?
Saul
has. Why did he die? Why did God slay him? Because he inquired of one he should not inquire, and he did not inquire of the Lord. How many of you tonight would like for God to deal with you like he did with King Saul? Anybody here would like to stand up and say, God, I want you to do me exactly like you did King Saul. Are there times you don't inquire of the Lord, as you should? Are there times you inquire of things you ought not to inquire of? And people you ought not to inquire of? Now listen, in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, David begins to reign. Now I want you to listen to what the Scripture says in verses 3 and 4. The Word of God says, and this is what David says now, he says to the people of Israel, in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, David said, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the ark of the covenant in the days of Saul, and all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. What was right? He says, we need the ark of God, we need the word of God, and we need to inquire of the Lord, because in all the days of Saul, what did he say we did not do? We did not inquire of the Lord. Now, that's what David said the people of God ought to do. And follow this carefully, please. David says we need to inquire of the Lord. Now, let's go back. And you look at 1 Kings, back up, or rather 1 Samuel. Let's back up to 1 Samuel chapter 1 Samuel chapter 23. And this is a record of the reign of King David. I want you to see now that in the Scripture that I just read, that David says, we're going to inquire of the Lord. We're going to seek God's guidance. Let's see now that as David is faced with different situations in his life, he's already following the written Word of God, but there are other decisions that he had to make. One of the primary things, one of the main decisions that David had to make repeatedly was that the Philistines were against them. You remember? And every time the Philistines came against the children of Israel, do you know what David always did? What would you do? What would you think you automatically do? Philistines come against you, what do? No, that's right, Brother David. Now, you're right, Brother Mike, about what you ought to do, but what do we do? Well, sometimes, what I want to get across tonight is there are many times we make automatic responses that we think, now, this must be the right thing to do, but what we need to do is inquire of the Lord. And when the Philistines would come against the children of Israel under the reign of King David, every time the Philistines would come against him, he always did the same thing. You're going to see that as we go through. Every time they came against them, every time the Philistines came against Israel, David would inquire of the Lord what to do. Let's follow this as we go through. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. The Word of God says, then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David armed himself for battle and went to fight against the Philistines. Is that what it says? No. Therefore David inquired. Now, I would have done what I just quoted, you know. I would have just charged out there to fight. The Philistines are down there taking from the threshing floors. I'd go down there and fight. That's not what David did. The Scripture says in verse 2, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? Now, it's almost a given in our minds, isn't it? That's what you've got to do. That's not what he had to do. He had to inquire of the Lord. The rest of verse 2 says, and the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Come down to verse 4. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise and go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Repeatedly as you go through this chapter and others, David is inquiring of the Lord, Lord, what am I to do in this situation? Now, could he look in the Scriptures, could he look to the ark of God, could he look at the laws of God and have an answer as to what he ought to do when the Philistines came against him? No. But he was already following the written Word of God, and now he had these other decisions to make, and then he was to always look to the Lord. Come down to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Again, the Word of God is going to declare and emphasize, and this is an emphasis that I believe you'll find as you go through those six books of the Bible that I mentioned. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8. The Word of God says, "And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." This was a totally different warfare right here that we're reading about. I just wanted to see every time David faces another battle, he's asking God, Lord, he's inquiring of the Lord, he's seeking God's guidance. Lord, what should I do? What would you have me to do? Now go to 2 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to just go to two other passages, but I want you to follow this carefully. And you might think he's going to do everything right, but just hold on, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 2, is he doing everything right so far as we can tell, as far as what we've read? 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up?" In other words, exactly where should I go up? And he said, "Unto Hebron." Now, he first said, "Should I go up to one of the cities of Judah?" He says, "Yes, go up." Did David just then go out to any city he wanted to? He says, "No. Now that I know I'm supposed to go up to one of the cities of Judah, now I'm asking God, which particular city would you have me to go to?" And he says, "Now you go to Hebron." God directs His people. When they follow His written Word, He will direct them in other decisions that they have to make in their lives. But sometimes we're not inquiring of the Lord. And I would encourage you to do, not just like Brother Jim Kennedy did, but I want to mention him, but I would encourage you to always ask the Lord, "What should I do? What should I do?" Inquire, seek the Lord's guidance. Now, go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. I want you to notice verses 18 and 19. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. This is just a history of the life of David. And this is going to be the last passage I read specifically about David inquiring of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. The Word of God says, "The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim." Now, what would you have done right there? As soon as they spread themselves in the valley of Ephraim. Don't say what you should have done. What would you have done right there? Says Charlotte, what would you have done? I'd have gone to battle right there. You know, they're there. The door's open. Either see either me go fight them, or they're going to come get me, so I'll go fight them. Listen, verse 19 says, "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." Now that happened, and they won that battle. I want you to come down to verse 22. Verse 22 says, "And the Philistines came up yet again." Now, are you going to have to ask him again? I mean, you already know. He just told you to go fight a battle, and you won that battle, and now the Philistines come again. Are you going to have to ask him again? You should ask him again. Now listen to verse 22. "And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley." Same valley, same enemy in the same valley. And verse 23 says, "And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up." Now listen, isn't that amazing? It's the same people, the same enemy in the same valley. And now this time when he is inquiring of the Lord, God says, "You're not to go up." Everybody follow that. Now listen. "Go not up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." And he's going to guide him in a completely different way than he would have ever considered going. He says, "Go around by the mulberry trees," verse 24 says, "and let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." Do you think if David had gone any other way or followed any other direction, was there a particular route David had to follow, and was there a particular time he had to go out in order to win this battle? The more we begin to realize and understand and remember that the battle is not ours, but the Lord's, the more we'll seek God's guidance in everything we do, and we'll be inquiring of the Lord, God, guide me today. God, guide me in this decision. And then when you're in another decision that seems identical, don't assume. You know what to do. Seek the Lord again. And the 25th verse says, "And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer." Now, isn't it wonderful to see a man of God? Is there a big difference in King Saul and King David? Who did King Saul inquire of? All right, now, what about King David? What did David do when he started reigning? He says, now Saul messed up. Saul didn't inquire of the Lord. I'm going to inquire of the Lord. Did he do that? Is he doing a good job? All the way through, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, but, come to chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Look now at 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're going to find a flaw. We're going to find the most serious thing that David did ever did against God and against the Word of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass, after the war was expired, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle." Now what was it time for David to do? Time for him to go to battle. But he didn't go to battle. Do you think he didn't go to battle because God didn't lead him to go to battle?
He didn't ask
the Lord. Very good. He just didn't ask the Lord. He just stayed home. His armies were so great, he didn't have to be out there with them. I'm just telling you how the devil would tell you to think. I don't have to go out there. They know how to win the battle. But it was time for the kings to go to battle. Verse 2 says, the last of verse 1 says, "But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass," verse 2 says, "and it came to pass in an evening tide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house." What should he have done when he couldn't sleep? What should he have been doing as soon as he couldn't sleep? What should he have been doing?
Inquiring
of the Lord. Any of you have trouble sleeping sometimes at night? When you have trouble sleeping, you know what you better do? Every time you can't sleep, you need to do something. You need to start asking the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to do? Should I lay in the bed or should I get up?" And He'll guide you. He'll tell you exactly what to do. "It came to pass at evening time that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." Now listen carefully to verse 3. "And David sent and inquired..." What's the chuckles for?
He didn't inquire
of the Lord. What did he inquire? He inquired after the woman. Now, isn't that amazing? Here's a man of God, one of the greatest men of God that has ever lived. The Word of God says that David was a man after God's own heart and departed not from anything God commanded him, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. David was a man that inquired of the Lord time and time again. He sought the Lord's guidance. He asked the Lord what to do in every single occasion, it seems, until this occasion, and it is in this occasion when he did not ask the Lord what he ought to do, and when he was not where he ought to be, and he inquired after the woman. Do you see there's a contrast between us inquiring after the world, like Saul, versus inquiring after the Lord?
Yeah.
And brethren, I hope that God will help us to all understand. Every time I lean to my own understanding, I'm inquiring after the woman. Now, I'm not talking about the same kind of thing David is talking about here. I'm telling you, I'm inquiring after the world. I'm following the world. I'm wanting to know what the world would have me to do. I'm wanting to know what the world wants me to do. I want to know what the flesh wants me to do. I'm following the leadership of the flesh instead of the leadership of God. David, over and over, had inquired of the Lord. But right here, the Word of God says, David inquired after the woman. Now, I want you to go with me to 2 Kings chapter 22. Brethren, I hope that God will impress. There's a reason that God has this for us tonight. There's a reason. Let me just back up and reiterate. When you want to know what to do about something that God has explained in His Word, what did you better do? Pray about it? No, if you want to know what God has already told you to do in His Word, you better just follow His Word. But when there's something that God has in no way addressed in His Word, such as going to battle and all the other things that David was inquiring of the Lord, if you have been following the written Word of God, if you've been following the Word of God, then when you ask God about other decisions you have to make, God will guide you in those decisions. 2 Kings chapter 22. Look now at 2 Kings chapter 22. Listen, please, to verse 13. The Word of God here, and I encourage you to go home and read this entire chapter. The Word of God here is talking about Josiah, who was the king of Judah, one of the great kings, one of the good kings of Judah, a man that loved God and feared God. And Josiah, as he was king, he began to restore and rebuild the house of God. The house of God was a shambles. And as he began to go in and rebuild the house of God and restore the house of God to being what it ought to be, in all that rubbish in the house of God, in all that rubbish, they found something amidst all that rubbish. Do you remember what they found in all the rubbish? They found a book, the Word of the Lord. That's right. They found the Word of the Lord. They found the Word of God. You go home and read all of this. And whenever Hilkiah, I want to just stop briefly at verse 8. We're in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. The Word of God says, "And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." I found the book. I found the book. And then he told Shaphan to read the book to him. Come down to verse 10. Verse 10 says, "And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah," or rather the king, Josiah, asked Shaphan to read to him. "The scribe," the king said, "Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. What book is it that Shaphan is reading to Josiah? What book is it? The law of God. Now verse 11 says, "And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes." Why do you think that King Josiah was so upset that he rent his clothes and he began to cry and fast? Why was Josiah so upset? He was upset because when he read the Word of God, when he heard the Word of God, which he had not heard before, when he heard the Word of God, he realized, we're not following the Word of God. Amen. We're not doing what God tells us to do. And I believe with all of my heart, brethren, that in our society today and in the churches today, I believe the Word of God is just as lost in most churches today as it was in the days of Josiah. And what I hope and pray is the people of God will begin to read the Word of God, and as they read the Word of God, they're going to say, there's something major wrong with the way we're going and the things we're doing. That's what Josiah did when he found the book. He said, we're not doing what the book says. We're not following the book. We're not following God's Word. We're not following God's way. We haven't been asking the Lord what to do. Verse 13, come down to verse 13, 2 Kings 22, verse 13 says, "Go ye," this is what the king says, "go ye, inquire of the Lord." Is he in a dilemma right here? What's his dilemma? We've been so far away from God, we just don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? You ever seen churches that are so far away from God, they don't have any idea? How can we fix this mess? This is such a mess, we don't know where to start. I have churches that say that often as I go around and try to preach the Word of God. I have churches that say, you know, we're so far away from the Word of God, I don't know that we can ever fix this problem. And that was what Josiah felt. We're so far away from God's Word and God's laws, where do we begin? Where do we start? So he says, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord." He started right, didn't he? "Inquire of the Lord. Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled upon us," kindled against us, "because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us." What's Josiah saying? He's saying God's wrath is kindled against us because we have not been following His book. Yeah. Everybody follow that? Isn't it amazing the way the terrorists tore down that bridge last week? Isn't that amazing? Everybody follow what I'm saying? How many terrorists did it take to tear down that bridge? None. Isn't it amazing how the terrorists are causing such a panic in the stock market right now, that we're pouring millions and millions of dollars into the stock market to keep it from collapsing. Isn't it amazing how that all happened last week? The terrorists did that, didn't they? No. In fact, there was a cartoon in the paper this past week, and it showed some Muslims sitting there, pictures, cartoon of some Muslims sitting there reading the paper about all the different tragedies in America and all the different things that are happening. And one of them said, "When are we going to do what we are supposed to do?" And they said, "We don't have to do anything. We're just going to sit back and watch what happens." What did Josiah realize? Josiah realized the wrath of God is upon us. God is bringing His judgment upon us. That's what Josiah said. Because we have not inquired of the Lord and we have not followed His book. Do you know what each of us needs to do tonight as we go home? We need to get on our knees, just like Josiah did. We need to rent our clothes. We need to fast and pray. We need to say, "God, we've gone away from Your Word. We need to get back to the Word of the Lord. We need to get back to God's way." And we need to inquire. Listen, brethren, I need to inquire of the Lord more in my life. What would the Lord have me to do every single day? And all during the day, what do we need to do? We need to inquire of the Lord. Why was King Saul slain by the Lord? Because he inquired not of the Lord. Do you ever lean to your own understanding? Do you ever inquire after the woman instead of inquiring after the Lord? Go with me now to 2 Chronicles. Well, we're not going to have time to go to all these scriptures, but let me just mention a couple. And everybody listen very carefully. You remember when Jehoshaphat, when the Moabites and the Ammonites and the people of Mount Seir were coming against Judah, and Jehoshaphat was the king, and as they began to come against them, and the people of Judah were greatly outnumbered, do you know what Jehoshaphat did? He declared a fast and said, "We need to seek the Lord's guidance. We need to ask the Lord what we should do." And whenever he began to pray to the Lord, in about verse 12 of chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, he said, "We have no might against this army, and we don't know what to do." But what did he say? "Our eyes are upon Thee. We're looking to You, Lord. We're asking You what to do." You know what the Lord told them to do? The Lord told them exactly what to do. He said, "You go out tomorrow," not today, "you go out tomorrow and you prepare yourselves for battle. You get all dressed up just like you're going to battle. But when you get all dressed up and you go out there and the singers go in front of the army, God was going to give them the victory." And God did that. You can go home and read all about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. What's the main point? That Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. He asked the Lord what to do. He asked God's guidance in everything he did. Go with me in closing to one other verse of Scripture. There are a lot of other Scriptures that I wish we had time to go to. But I want you to notice in one other Scripture. Turn to Ezra. Turn to Ezra. This is past 1 and 2 Chronicles. Just go past 1 and 2 Chronicles, and then you'll find a little book called Ezra. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. I want you to listen carefully. We're going to close right here, but I want you to listen to this. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, the Word of God says, Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21, the Word of God says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there, at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us." You hear what he did? He says, "I'm just declaring a fast. I'm telling everybody to stop what you're doing." He says, to humble ourselves, afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones. Do you want the best thing for your children and your grandchildren? The only way we're going to know what to do, the only way that's going to be have God's blessings on our children and our grandchildren is if we start seeking what the Lord would have us to do instead of inquiring after the woman. I hope that God will help us tonight to realize the seriousness and the importance of us inquiring of the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what's your will for me? And may God help us to always follow His written word, because when we follow His written word, He'll guide us in everything else to do, is my prayer for Christ's sake.